Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state. And she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. Continuing where we left off in the last show, trying to help you get to that 50% mark of your must-haves percentage, that being 50% of your net income is for must-haves, we got to the point which was, in essence, a radical surgery. You've taken the easy steps that we've discussed in former shows, and even a few not-so-easy steps, and we hope you've reached your goal. But if your must-haves still aren't approaching the 50% mark, then it's time to think honestly about some really big changes. Changes like taking a new job or moving to a different place. We know that these can be difficult, even painful changes in your life. And yet, we also know that major change may be your only path to real financial peace. So the first thing is when it's time for another job. We've talked about cutting expenses, but of course, there are two ways to get your income into balance. You can cut your costs, or you can increase your income. There are no hard and fast rules on what is right for your situation. Maybe you just need to do a little hunting and find work that pays better. Maybe you need to let go of a foundering business and get a traditional job. Or maybe you need to get more education so you can get the next promotion. The key here is to get it out in the open. Take a long look at your options. Ask yourself the tough question, do you really, really need more income? First, has it been more than 2 years since you checked out what you would earn in a similar job at a different company? There's a basic rule in business, always know what your assets are worth. The same holds true about your job. Know what you are worth to an employer and make sure you get every penny of it. If it has been more than 2 years since you checked out what you could earn at a different company, then it is time to do a little hunting. The information you gather may surprise you. You already have a job, so you can be choosy. Take your time to look around. Check out the online job postings, visit a couple of placement agencies, and tell all your friends that you'd like to find something that pays a little better. You'll find out pretty fast if there is a better job out there. Maybe you could pick up extra part-time work. This is a great way to turn work experience and even your hobbies into extra cash. Do you have teaching experience or a degree in English or math? You can make good money tutoring kids after school. Are you at home taking care of your children? Take care of your neighbor's kids too. Typing, gardening, hanging wallpaper, taking photographs, and setting up home computers are just a few skills that can translate into extra money. Is it time for more training? If a degree or specialized training is necessary for you to get a fatter paycheck, then sign yourself up. Getting a degree can be expensive and studying after hours can be tiring, but this is the rest of your life we're talking about, and then you'll get a payoff for a long, long time once you accomplish this. Another thing, if you're self-employed, is it time to go to work for someone else? There is nothing quite like working for yourself, of course. We know the joy of making your first sale and the agony of not making the profits you hoped for. It's hard to admit, but even if you work your fanny off, many small businesses don't work out. There's no shame in throwing in the towel and going back to a traditional job. Think about the hours you put in and ask yourself, could you earn more at a regular job? Keep in mind, it doesn't have to be forever. You can always use that steady paycheck to rebuild your savings until you can launch the next big venture. Another possibility is, are you or your spouse able to work but not drawing a paycheck? Maybe you promised your wife she could stay home with the kids when you got married. Maybe you offered to support the family while your husband launched a new business. Maybe you planned to find a new job once the baby got a little older, but somehow it just never happened. A family that is financially strapped and yet has an able-bodied adult who isn't even looking for a job is, 9 times out of 10, a family that is living out the consequences of a decision that once made sense but no longer works. So be honest with each other. If you just can't afford a stay-at-home spouse, then say so. Once again, it isn't all or nothing. You may find a part-time job that will cover some bills and give you plenty of time for life outside of work. You may decide to work for 6 months or a year, just long enough for your family to pay off some major debts. You may job share or work as an on-call temp. The point is to get out there and look and be creative. Now, what about when it's time to move? Your house is special. Moving is expensive. Your whole life will change if you can't wave hello to your next door neighbor every morning and sit on the back deck in the evening. There are a lot of very good reasons not to move, and yet you need the moment of cold, hard honesty. If you are living in a home you can't afford, you stand to lose that home and everything else you have built up in your life. The fact is that home foreclosures have hit the ceiling in the last decade. You want to be prosperous for life, not another crash statistic. If your must-haves are still way too high and taking a roommate or getting a higher-paying job just isn't in the cards, then consider moving someplace more affordable. Getting out from under that heavy house payment may be your best chance for building a lifetime of comfortable finances. The first thing you do is consider your circumstances. If you are expecting a major change in the next year or two, then it may be sensible to stay put a little longer. For example, if you plan to get married or shift to another job, then your housing needs and your household income may change. Likewise, if you are planning to move to another city in the next year, don't blow your money on moving twice. But if your situation is pretty stable, if you plan to stay in the same job, the same city, the same relationship, or no relationship, then it may be time to call the moving van. Next, consider your community. You may be fixated on a single area, but there may be decent housing and decent neighbors in less expensive areas. The test is not, where do I most want to live? The test is, where can I live safely? check the listings, and get in the car and drive around. Once again, you might be surprised. And I'll come back to this after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So if you can, get out pen and paper, and we'll go over a checklist for seeing if it's time to move. First question is a yes or no question. Are your total must-have costs, including housing, significantly higher than 50% after you made as many cuts as possible? Yes or no? So that's money balance. Now, what about future plans? Is your income likely to stay about the same or drop over the next few years? That is, no big raise or promotion on the horizon. Yes or no? Then, are you planning to stay in the same city for the next several years? Yes or no? And also, is it likely that your life will be pretty stable over the next few years with no major changes such as a new marriage or job? Yes or no? And the final category is your area. Is it possible to live in a less expensive home or apartment in your area without compromising your safety and well-being? Yes or no? Now, if you have answered yes to all of these questions, then moving to a less expensive place may be your best option. Another thing you should think about is, should the move be temporary? If selling your home sounds too difficult or just too expensive, once you add in the agent fees, maybe there is another option. Consider a temporary move. You could rent out your home and move into a less expensive apartment just for a while. Elizabeth Warren has a friend who is a professor at a business school. His family had a huge financial setback, so he rented out his big house with a pool and moved with his wife and teenage daughter into a two-bedroom condo for 2 years. It was enough to get them back on their feet. He didn't feel embarrassed. He felt smart and careful. If the rental value of your home is more than the monthly mortgage payment, you could come out financially ahead. You could hold on to your home while salvaging your financial stability. And if your circumstances change in a year or two, you can move back in. Another question is, what if you have kids in public school? Be sure to investigate all your options before you rule out a move. Many school districts will permit students to remain enrolled even if the family moves to another district. That may involve extra driving, but if you are cutting the house payment sharply, it may be worth it. And check out whether any of the schools in your area offer open enrollment or magnet programs. This can be a great way to get a good education for your kids without paying an arm and a leg to live in a prestigious district. Don't rely on real estate agents for information. Call the school district directly. You might be pleasantly surprised. And also, consider, what about family? Is this the time to move back in with your folks or crash on your sister's couch for a while? Family can help, and often they have more space than cash to offer. If you are a grown-up about it, if you try not to impose, if you recognize what a big benefit they are bestowing on you, this could be a turning point in your life. Pay something to your hosts. Pitch in with the yard work and the dishes and put every spare penny into savings. Set a timetable to get back into your own place. This can be a very difficult step, but it may be just what you need to get the rest of your financial future in balance. Remember, it doesn't have to be forever. There will always be bigger apartments and nicer homes available. If your circumstances change, you can move into a nicer place when the time is right. And in the meantime, you can stay safe, pay your bills, and rest easy. So now let's get back to the pen and paper. Little cuts, big cuts, add up your total. It's time to add up all your cuts and see where you stand. Now we have a revised must-have expenses chart. First thing you want to enter is your monthly must-have expenses before you made any cuts, which we've done in the past. Now the next category is cuts in the expenses. You list each cut and enter your monthly savings. If you save from a bill you pay annually, like your car insurance, just divide your savings by 12. So write all those down and then total the cuts in the monthly must-have expenses. And simply the total must-have expenses before cuts minus the total cuts in expenses give you a new number. The savings you made with what we've done will help you lay a foundation for the rest of your spending plan. You will come back to these numbers again and again as you work with your wants and savings. And you will be so glad of all the progress you made. So give yourself a big pat on the back for every cut on the list. You really deserve it. Now let's look at when it's okay to go higher than 50%. What if you've squeezed, you've shopped, you've pressed and pulled, and you are still not there? Is it ever okay for your money to be out of balance? There may be times when must-haves need to climb above 50% for a while. When a new baby comes, when a loved one faces a serious illness, when you go back to school, when you lose your job, when you launch a new business. Those are some really fundamental examples. Notice something special about this list, though. What do all these things have in common? They are temporary. All your worth is designed to give you enough flexibility to manage life's ups and downs so that you don't have to worry if things go a little awry. It is okay for your money to get a little off balance when it's temporary. But when you are working steadily, when everyone is healthy, when everything is normal, your must-haves should not float above the 50% mark. If they do, the warning flags should be flying. Who decides whether the reason your must-haves are out of balance is only temporary? You do, of course. But we urge you to be honest with yourself. A job that just doesn't pay as much as you're worth does not qualify as temporary, even if you are planning to look for a better job sometime in the future. Divorce isn't temporary. An expensive home mortgage and a big health insurance bill aren't on the temporary list either. If you have a temporary circumstance that makes it necessary to keep your money out of balance for a while, here are some steps you should take to stay safe. First is build a super strong safety net. You have opted for a life on the high wire, so you need a really, really strong safety net. Savings in the bank is your best line of defense in case anything goes wrong. This means you will still need to make room for savings. Pay your must-haves first, then carve out 20% for savings. Then you can put the remainder toward your wants. This probably means that you will be scrimping on the wants for a while. No vacations and not much in the way of fine dining or shopping for new clothes. We know that's not much fun, but putting savings higher on your list is the best possible way to keep yourself safe and start building toward a better future. Second point is set a goal for when you will get your must-haves balanced. Going heavy on the must-haves may be the right decision for now, but it doesn't have to last forever. Try setting a goal for when you are going to be out of the woods. Maybe you can get your money into balance in a year, when the car is paid off. Maybe balance will come in 2 years, when your youngest child starts full-day kindergarten. Maybe you can get your money into balance, or at least get it a lot closer, when the student loan is paid off next year, or when you move to the next pay grade at work in 18 months. The point here is to have a clear end point in mind, a time when you can finally take a much-needed sigh of relief and aim toward keeping your money balanced for good. And now, station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you're listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now we'll look at when to revisit and when to relax. It's taken some work to get your must-haves in balance, but now it's time for the good news. You don't have to worry about this for a while. In general, you should reevaluate your must-haves every 2 years. Why revisit? Because you just never know. Maybe you will qualify for a better mortgage. Maybe you will be eligible for cheaper car insurance. Maybe a new daycare facility will open up. Maybe there is a better job out there just waiting for you to apply. The only way to find out is to get out there and look around. Rest assured that every time you check, it gets a little easier because you've learned the tricks and you know where to look. You also want to recheck your must-haves and your overall financial balance whenever you have a major change, such as change of job, marriage, birth, or other change in family structure, move to a different home, significant change in income, significant change in expenses, such as sending a child to college, and before you make a major purchase, such as a house or car. When you begin to get your must-haves into balance, you have a new way of thinking about your money. You have an easy way to judge whether you can afford something, which can make the big decisions a whole lot easier and a whole lot less stressful. No more chewing your fingernails about whether the new car will bust your budget or fit in just fine. Now you know. If you can keep the monthly must-haves under 50%, the purchase is okay. If not, it's not. It's really that simple. Balancing your money also makes it easier for you to plan around big changes. A new home, move to a new city, marriage, a new baby, and to integrate them into your financial plan. When you have a clear goal and a plan to get there, you can ease up on the money worries. This means you can focus your real energy on the new job, the new baby, and all the other important things without wringing your hands over money. In other words, balance can let you relax about money so you can focus on life. The task in front of you may be challenging, and you may still wrestle some tough choices. But remember this, nothing here is impossible. You have lots of options, and you can pursue the ones that work best for you. You are smart enough to look out for your future, and you are energetic enough to work hard for what you want. That means you are also smart and energetic enough to get your money in balance. Significant change is always tough. If it were easy, you would have done it already. But here's the kicker. Your hard work will pay off. Getting your must-have expenses in balance builds the strongest possible foundation for a future of worry-free living and lifelong wealth creation. And once it's over, once you have done the hard work, once you are paying your bills without worry, once you are enjoying your fun money and watching your dreams come closer, your worth will grow in many ways, and you will forever be glad you did this. So now let's move from the must-haves to the next step, which is fun. According to Elizabeth Warren and her daughter Amelia, if you can't afford fun, you can't afford life. Now all your worth goes into the time for fun. How much fun? That depends on your tastes. Saturday at the lake, strappy sandals, tickets to the monster truck rally, a mud bath at the spa, a nice dinner out, a dollar for feeding walruses at the zoo, $100 for advanced Tai Chi lessons, or $1,000 for a weekend at the Mall of America. It doesn't matter. We're going to go into whatever is fun for you. Well, why do you need a step on how to have fun? After all, no one needs to read a book on how to lick an ice cream cone or when to laugh at a movie. So why a step for spending your fun money? Because you need to make sure that fun is fun. If you are like most people, you have probably spent plenty of money that just wasn't fun. There you were, sitting at a restaurant or standing in line at Disney World, and then all of a sudden, it hit. Your stomach turned into a knot as you mentally added up how much you were spending. And you thought to yourself, oh no, I shouldn't spend this much. All of a sudden, the food turned into chalk in your mouth. Talk about a quick way to ruin a fun time. If you are feeling stretched right now, if you are worried about covering your bills at the end of the month, then it may seem crazy to talk about how much to spend on stuff you don't absolutely need. But remember, all you're worth is a lifetime money plan, not some crash diet that falls apart in a few weeks. You're balancing your money for life, and a critical part of balance is having some money to enjoy. We're dead serious when we say that if you don't have any money for fun, then you can't afford the rest of your life. Making the most of your worth is about building wealth and having money to enjoy it. So it's time to focus on enjoying your fun money. What we have done so far is focus on what you spend your must-have money on. You concentrated on how much you spent for each of your must-haves, and you looked for the best possible deal. Getting control over your wants is very different. It isn't about what you spend your money on, nor is it about getting the best deal on everything you buy. After all, it isn't much fun to go to the cheapest restaurant in town, even if you can get the best deal on a meal there. The key to getting control over your wants is to ignore what you spend your money on and to focus on how you spend your wants money. In other words, control over wants money isn't about what you spend, it's about how you spend. Point one, set a clear limit. How much for fun? Enjoying your fun money is about giving yourself complete 100% permission to relax. That permission can come from just one place, the utter confidence that you have enough. The confidence that you can cover your bills, the confidence that you can put aside enough for the future. In other words, enjoying your money comes from knowing in your bones that it is really, truly okay to spend on something you don't need. That confidence starts by deciding exactly how much you can spend on all your wants without worry or guilt. This isn't about budgeting every penny. It's not about long lists where you write down how much for lipstick, how much for a new socket wrench, and how much for a bagel with cream cheese. No, this is about the big picture, giving yourself some freedom to have fun. Instead of a budget entitled Grim and Grimmer, this is a place in your wallet for fun and funner. That's because spending is most fun when you know you can afford it. Calculating on how much you can spend on wants is simple. First, enter your monthly must-have expenses, taking into account all the cuts you made to the must-haves. Next, take out 20% of your take-home pay, which is earmarked for savings. The remainder is your wants budget. So with the pen and paper, what is your revised monthly must-have expenses? Next, put down what your monthly after-tax income is times monthly income by 20%, which is 0.2. Well, that equals your savings goal. Again, so the monthly after-tax income on one line minus must-have expenses minus the savings goal, and that equals your monthly wants budget. And I will redo this in the next show, but just to quickly repeat the last point, your monthly after-tax income minus monthly must-have expenses minus savings goal equals your monthly wants budget. And the wants budget is money for stuff you want but don't really need. If your money is in balance, you should have about 30% of your take-home pay left over for your wants. And I will continue in the next program. This is Iowa Bankruptcy Attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641 641- 209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.